And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Sign on the Seal, was written by Johanna Johnston. There it is, in Hebrew script on the corporate seal of Yale University, as unnoticed as inscriptions on seals generally are, and giving no hint that it is the odd, unlikely little memorial of a most remarkable man. Urim V'Tumim is the inscription. Urim V'Tumim, an ancient and mystical Hebrew phrase that means, well, no matter what it means right now, the story is about the man who put it there on Yale's seal, as a token of his devotion to the glorious language of Hebrew and his friendship for the people whose language it is. Ezra Stiles was his name, and he lived in a day when remarkable men were thick as berries all over colonial America. Thomas Jefferson, statesman, farmer, musician, inventor, Benjamin Franklin, scientist, author, postmaster, statesman. Like them, Ezra Stiles was interested in everything. He studied to become a minister, but he was still at Yale teaching Latin when Benjamin Franklin sent him a most appreciated gift.
Esteemed friend, my deepest gratitude for the electrical apparatus which you had the kindness to send me. I am starting at once upon a series of electrical experiments and will write you of the results.
Yes, Franklin was Ezra Stiles' friend. Their minds ran happily together in many directions. Oh, and with all this, Stiles was the dedicated minister of a church in the city of Newport in Rhode Island Colony. And he was interested in all the doings of that community as well.
Come in.
I hope I'm not interrupting you, my dear. I came to say dinner is ready.
Oh, good. And you do not interrupt me at all. These past 10 minutes, I've been doing nothing more remarkable than gazing out of the window, watching the progress of the Reverend Turow's new synagogue.
Oh.
Look, the walls are well nigh complete.
Oh, yes. It is going to be a fine, handsome building, is it not?
Yes. And I am very pleased about the whole thing. There has been a Jewish colony in Newport for over 100 years now. It is quite fitting they should have a worthy temple at last.
I agree, Mr. Stiles. I quite agree.
And already I have Mr. Turow's invitation to attend the service as soon as the synagogue is complete.
Oh.
So you see why I watch its progress with such interest.
Actually, Ezra Stiles was a new sort of man even for tolerant Newport. Everyone in the city accepted the overgrowing, thriving Jewish community. That had been the pattern ever since the brave days of Roger Williams. Still, even as the men of the Rhode Island Assembly spelled out the freedom and protection Jews might expect, they called them strangers, not of our nation. It was not so for Ezra Stiles.
Barech Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha,
v'ihuneka. Yisa Adonai panav elecha, v'yasem lecha shalom.
Dr. Stiles, it's good to have you with us this evening.
It is a great joy to be here, Mr. Turo. Your new synagogue is surely the handsomest new building in all of Newport. And the service was one of great interest to me. In fact, I have only one regret.
A regret, Dr. Stiles?
That I know no Hebrew.
Oh, yes. It was difficult for you to know what was going on during the service.
Actually, it is a regret I've known for some time. It seems to me that any man who calls himself educated should have a knowledge of Hebrew, the language of the Bible. Truly, one day I plan to study it. May I beg your assistance when that day comes, Mr. Turo?
Well, I will be honored, Dr. Stiles.
That night, in the winter of 1764, Ezra Stiles went home and wrote a meticulous description of the new synagogue Yeshuat Yisrael in his diary. He had no thought that this description would become a little legacy across the centuries to men and women of the 1950s, men and women who are working today to restore the Turo Synagogue to its original beauty now that it has become a national shrine. Back in 1764, Ezra Stiles' thoughts were once again turning to the project of learning Hebrew. But there were 1,000 other interests as well.
Mr. Turo, good morning.
Oh, Dr. Stiles, good morning to you. A beautiful morning.
It is indeed. I was glad I had some letters that required posting. I must tell you, one of them goes to that missionary in Syria, about whom I was speaking to you the other day.
Oh, yes, the one whom you wished to ask about the Tatars.
That is right. And whether or not they might be one of the 10 lost tribes. Well, with good fortune, we have only to wait a few months now, and we will have his ideas.
Yes, I'll be very interested to hear them when the reply comes.
You shall, never fear. You know, I rely on you to help me test my theories, just as I am relying on you to help me learn Hebrew.
I am at your service for that too, Dr. Stiles, whenever you are ready.
The 10 lost tribes of Israel. Where had they wandered? Where were they now? Ezra Stiles' interest in those questions was not unique. His approach to his investigations was like his approach to everything, enthusiastic and sustained. And when at last he did begin to study Hebrew, he flung himself into that with the same eagerness he brought to everything.
Well, there you are, Doctor. I've written out the whole alphabet for you with the vowels.
Oh, thank you. Now all I have to do is to recognize these characters and what they mean and how they sound.
Oh, it will not be so difficult for you, I'm sure. I'll give you the sounds now, and then I'll drill you in them as often as you wish. Now, first we have Aleph, then Bet, then Gimel.
Aleph, Bet, Gimel.
Good.
Perhaps I should practice writing the character at the same time as I sound it.
Also a good idea.
Very well. Here is my pen. Aleph, Bet, Gimel.
Good. Now, Dalet.
Dalet.
A. Ba.
Slowly, word by word, he began to move toward understanding. Day after busy day, he squeezed in the time to continue his study. And at last...
Elizabeth!
Yes, my dear, what is it?
Listen, I want to read you something. Hashemayim mesaprim kavodel, umase yadov magid harakiwa. Well?
Oh, it was splendid.
But you do not have the least idea what I was saying. Oh, nonsense. Of course you do. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
The 19th Psalm in Hebrew?
In the language of David himself. Does it not sound lovelier and richer than ever before when you hear it in the very language in which it was created?
Well, I'm sure it will when I'm a little more accustomed.
Or when you know Hebrew yourself. Yes, when I'm a little more advanced, I will teach it to you too, my dear. And the boy also.
The boy? But he's barely 8.
Well, he will be 10 and more before I can undertake to teach anyone. But now my first project is to read all through the Old Testament in Hebrew. Can you imagine what a joy that will be? In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And I shall read it as it was in the beginning.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Evening after evening, Ezra Stiles marked in his diary his progress through the Bible in Hebrew. His visits to the synagogue continued too. He was friendly with all its members now. And then, one day in 1772, a fine ferment ran through all the Jewish community in Newport. Ezra Stiles heard about it from his friend, Isaac Turo.
A most distinguished visitor, Dr. Stiles, a real rabbi, trained and educated in Palestine, and he's traveled all over the East, Egypt, Smyrna, Damascus, everywhere, and now he's in the colonies.
And comes to visit Newport.
Yes, he's been in Philadelphia, New York, but he did not wish to leave without seeing our new synagogue here and meeting some of our congregation. And only think, he comes day after tomorrow, on the very eve of Purim. Could anything be more fortunate? He'll be able to preside in the synagogue for the Purim services. Would you like to come for those, Dr. Stiles?
I would indeed. Thank you very much, Mr. Turo. Oh, by the way, what is this distinguished visitor's name? I do not think you have mentioned it.
You see how excited I am. He's Rabbi Chaim Isaac Karigal, and you shall meet him for yourself day after tomorrow.
Ezra Stiles went with Aaron Lopez and his family to the Purim service. And his Hebrew was good enough now so that he could follow the reading of the story of Esther with ease. But his eyes, like the eyes of everyone, rested most often on the imposing figure sitting quietly while the story was read. That night, he noted all his impressions of Rabbi Karigal in his diary.
A most handsome, well-set man. Dark hair, fine dark eyes, dark beard. Richly dressed in the Eastern style. A long red garment over all. Under that, a white silk surplice. On his head, a high fur hat. He seems a man of great intelligence and vitality. I look forward to longer speech with him.
The opportunity for that came very soon. Before long, Rabbi Karigal from Hebron in the Holy Land and Dr. Ezra Stiles, Christian minister of Newport, Rhode Island, were on terms of warmest intimacy. Evening after evening, the two men would be debating all sorts of delightful questions, fine points about the Hebrew language and its various dialects, new surmises about the 10 lost tribes, or varying interpretations of certain passages in the Bible. And then, one evening, it was the rabbi from far-off Hebron who asked Ezra Stiles the question none of his other Jewish friends had quite been able to ask.
Forgive me, doctor, if I ask something that is perhaps not for me, not a right question, maybe.
Something you fear may be personal? I will not take offense, rabbi.
You are a Christian, Dr. Stiles, but you have such a warmth. Such an interest in the Hebrew. Not just the language, but our people too. Our faith, our hopes, our fears. I have known many Christians. They are good men, many. But they're not as you.
No. Well, I can only regret that from many there is still a blindness to the tie, the eternal tie between your faith and mine, Rabbi. Perhaps if I am more aware than they, I owe it to 5 years of torment long ago.
5 years of torment?
I was a very young man, just graduated from Yale, and prepared to be a minister, just as my father before me had been. And suddenly, I was stricken by doubt. terrible doubt. How did I know that all I had been taught to believe was true? I had the word of my teachers, but they were men like myself.
Ah, yes. Yes, it is often this way for the young.
It was not that I lost all my faith. Somewhere there still was God. But by what token did we worship him as we did? In these doubts, I lost my way to him altogether. I began to travel about, attending the churches of all denominations, looking for some sign. I went to New York, to Boston, to Philadelphia, and I cannot tell you all the churches I visited. Dutch Calvinist, Quaker, Roman Catholic, Episcopal, Congregational.
So many? And all Christian?
Yes, so many. And this did not help with my doubts at all. Finally, it was the Bible itself which gave me back what I had lost. Your prophets gave me back my faith.
The prophets?
All the prophets of the Hebrew Bible. I studied their prophecies. Then I traced them through the rest of the Bible, seeing how they were fulfilled one after the other. This could not be by accident. This was design, sublime design. There could be no doubt. The prophets of Judea spoke for all time. What they prophesied that is still unfulfilled will yet come to pass in the fullness of time. The lost tribes will return. There will be a new Jerusalem.
I see. Yes, I think I see. You find in the Jewish faith the root, the foundation of your own.
Of course. And the Jews, my dear Rabbi, can only be just what the Bible says they are, the elect harbingers of God. They were the first to find him and know him. They shall be first for all time when earth's shadows fall away.
You are, Dr. Stiles, what my friend Turo told me you are. A most remarkable man.
The rabbi prolonged his stay in Newport. Passover came and went. Then Shavuot. And for Shavuot, the congregation of Yeshuat Yisrael Temple planned a very special service to show their pride in the visiting rabbi. All the state and city officials were invited to come and hear Rabbi Karigal preach. And later, Ezra Stiles wrote in his diary,
"It was a most notable occasion. I fear the visitors understood but little. The rabbi spoke alternately in Hebrew and Spanish, but his presence and dignity impressed them very much. There are plans afoot to have the sermon translated, printed, which seems a good idea."
The good idea was acted upon. Rabbi Chaim Isaac Karigal's sermon was translated and printed. In its own way, an event of some note, since it became the first sermon preached by a rabbi in the North American colonies to be printed in those same colonies. Before all this was accomplished, however...
"Rabbi Karigal, I have an invitation to extend to you. I would be most happy if you would consent to attend the services at my church this coming Sunday. My whole congregation and myself would be most honored."
"Dr. Stiles, I will be most pleased and happy to come."
"In honor of our distinguished guest today, my sermon will deal with God's providence to his chosen people, and the duty of all Christians and all nations to desire participation in their future glorious state. Let us examine, then, how we may prepare ourselves to be ready to share in that glory."
Ezra Stiles, Christian minister of Newport, had at last made it perfectly clear why it was that the Jew was not and could never be a stranger and not of his nation. The rabbi, still unsure of his English, could not understand every word of the sermon, but he understood the spirit. When he left Newport soon after, sailing away to Suriname in the West Indies, he and the doctor vowed their friendship should not falter because of absence. Long letters in Hebrew went back and forth from Suriname and Newport. And then, in 1777, the college from which he'd been graduated 31 years earlier renewed an offer it had made several times before. Yale wanted Dr. Ezra Stiles to become its president. And now, weakened by the effects of the war, struggling just for existence, its appeal was desperate. And Ezra Stiles said yes.
It is a great pleasure, Dr. Stiles, a great pleasure to have you with us. You'll be waking things up around here, I'll wager, bringing things back to life.
Well, that I hope we will all do, working together, Professor. The war will not be going on forever, and a brand new nation can use every one of its colleges and universities.
As it can. Well, I will leave you now. You are working on your inaugural address, I suppose. I hope we can look forward to one of your famous Latin orations.
No. No, I am planning to give the address in Hebrew.
In Hebrew?
It is a glorious language, Professor. And it is my plan to make Hebrew compulsory language here at Yale, just as Latin is.
Hebrew? Compulsory?
Yes. As soon as I am installed, I want every student to study Hebrew for at least 2 years.
Oh, dear me, dear me. I knew your reputation, of course, as an ardent Hebraist, but I trust the young men will take it all in good part.
They will thank me later, Professor. They will thank me.
The seed had been sown. Deeper and more truly than Ezra Stiles back in the 1780s could ever have dreamed. Today, Yale has a world-famous department of Hebraic studies, an equally famous press, and it was he who pointed the way. It was back in the 1780s, too, when the seal of the university was being devised, that Ezra Stiles insisted it contain a Hebrew phrase.
Urim vu tumim. But what exactly does it mean, Dr. Stiles?
Actually, there is a literal meaning, Professor, and then there is a larger meaning as well. Literally, Urim means lights, and Tumim means perfections. But in the Bible, you will always find the words used together. The ancient Hebrew high priests had the two words inscribed on two tablets on their breastplates, and they used them in some fashion to divine the future and determine God's will. The words glowed to indicate when men had indeed divined his plan.
Oh, I see. Very interesting. But just how do you feel this suits your purposes, Dr. Stiles?
In our own way, we too have our eyes on the future, have we not, Professor? The whole goal of any school is to guide its students into the ways of wisdom and understanding that will move the world a little closer to its golden age. Is not the way to that future the way of light and perfection?
So we may wear the words in our shield as a sign?
That is it, Professor. That is it. As a sign that the future is in God's hands, and Urim v'Tumim, light and perfection, will point the way.
And so the little Hebrew phrase found its way onto Yale's corporate seal, where it remains to this day. Few people notice it. Few people remember the man who put it there. The name of his grandson, Oliver Wendell Holmes, shines far more brightly. But the meaning of a life, or a sign, does not rest on fame alone. Ezra Stiles left his own unique impress on Yale's history with his love of Hebrew. A hope for a better world still lives by way of the sign he left on Yale's seal. Urim v'Tumim, light and perfection. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address, with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling, to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America,
3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. Samuel Schwartz of Paterson, New Jersey, Vice Chairman of the Restoration Committee of the historic Touro Synagogue in Newport, Rhode Island. Mrs. Schwartz.
Ezra Stiles, like so many men of his time, had a great many interests to which he devoted himself. His love for the Hebrew language was but one of these interests. And Ezra Stiles was just one man in an era of giants. America was not yet a nation. Men of different faiths, born of different traditions, worked together, ceased to be strangers in the face of a common goal. The men we read of in our history books were not unlike ourselves. Some of them were recognized, even in their time, to be the powerful forces that we today know them to have been. The greatness of others was revealed only through time. Our history books cannot record with proper force the thousands, indeed millions, of men and women whose simple faith in the potential of our nation created the annals of American history. Yet, it was from these ranks that the giants came, not as men alone, but as representatives of a unified people. Today, in Newport, Rhode Island, measures have been taken to further preserve and, where necessary, to restore the original beauty of the synagogue which so interested Ezra Stiles. The lovely building stands a monument to the good taste and judgment of the men who built it, to the men who preserved it, and to the men who, in the late 19th century, reopened the by-then long-closed synagogue as a house of worship. Our roots are in our past. We must hold on to our heritage, but we must also know that today will be history tomorrow. The lives we live, the goals we seek, the beliefs we avow will be closely examined 100 years from now by others. It is perhaps time for us to meditate on what we are contributing to our American heritage. Men like Ezra Stiles, Isaac Touro, Aaron Lopez, men who might have been strangers, took the time to know each other, to share with each other of their differences. So we too, if we take the time and make the effort, can, and I hope we will, give to our children and our children's children a heritage of which to be proud, a heritage worthy of study, and a heritage worthy of restoration.
Thank you, Mrs. Schwartz. Eternal Light drama today, The Sign on the Seal, was written by Johanna Johnston. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. Featured were Joseph Bell as Ezra Stiles and Roger DeCoven as Rabbi Touro. Others in the cast were Abby Lewis, Santos Ortega, and Charles Webster. Our narrator was Norman Rose. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.